J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Oh, I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help.
We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Oh, let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in Chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
And good morning from Louisville, Kentucky, again, where I am visiting my daughter, my oldest daughter, Addison, and where we've been having a good time. This town reminds me a little bit of Cleveland. When I was living in Buffalo back in the early 1980s, I used to drive from Buffalo to see my parents in Chicago all the time, and you'd have to go right through Cleveland on the way through, and I just remember looking at the city as you drive right through the heart of Cleveland, and it just looked like the whole place was ready to fall down. It was just old and just old and just old. And you go past that old Cleveland Municipal Stadium where the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Indians used to play, and you would just look at it, and it just, again, looked like it was there since the Mayflower. And then I didn't go to Cleveland for probably two decades, maybe three, actually. There was no reason to be up there. So I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago. A family that we had met in Houston, who lived down the street from us, believe it or not, had moved to Cleveland, to Shaker Heights, where our buddy Russ Mitchell lives, as a matter of fact. Remember Russ, who used to be a weekend news anchor on Channel 4 in St. Louis, and then he went to CBS for 20 years, and after 20 years, it was clear what was going on with the network, and Russ just wasn't going to advance any further than where he was. And so, you believe it or not, you can make a lot more money, working in local TV than you can in network TV. Not all the time, but lots of times, you can. And also, for whatever reason, Russ and his new bride moved to Cleveland, where he's been now for, oh my gosh, it's got to be at least 15 years, I would think. And he's doing well there, too. But I digress. But anyhow, so this couple, we stayed with them in Shaker Heights in one of the Cleveland suburbs. And it was summer. And again, that has a lot to do with it when you're visiting a place like Cleveland. And it was summertime. And I had the best time in Cleveland. They took us everywhere. I mean, everything from, you know, they have a great science center there, a great ballpark, a couple of great ballparks, actually, and obviously the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the house where Ralphie and his family from A Christmas Story lived is on display there. It's perfectly preserved, and then across the street from that, it's right in the middle of a neighborhood, of a residential neighborhood, and right across the street, they have a gift shop, but it's a pretty big place. And you can buy everything from BB guns to, you know, little mementos and things like that that have to do with the movie. And I just remember coming back and going, people have no idea how much this city has progressed and fixed itself, because it really is a great place to visit. And I'm finding the parts of Louisville to go to because, you know, this is a mistake, and I won't make this mistake next time. We're staying in a downtown hotel. Well, downtown Louisville is a mix of old river town buildings and homeless people and not a hell of a lot going on. Pawn shops and liquor stores and gas stations and stuff like that. You go about 10 minutes to the southeast, and there's an area called the Highlands, and I made reference to this yesterday on the show, and the Highlands, and it's just shop after shop, restaurant after restaurant, clubs, bars, the whole thing, little shops, clothing stores, and it must be a quarter of a mile long, and activity on both sides of the street, and that's the place to go, that's the place to stay. So if for whatever reason you got to come to Louisville, or you want to come to Louisville, and my two daughters, spent the afternoon at a horse farm yesterday, and they give you a little gift bag, a little goodie bag when you come out of the place, because it's like $20 a person, and they take you around and they show you these thoroughbreds, and they explain, you know, how horses are raised, basically, and they had a great time doing that, and at the end they give you a little goodie bag, and in the goodie bag is a real horseshoe. So that's going to be our main souvenir from this trip. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's actually pretty cool, especially if you're not around horses very much, which I'm not. My experiences with horses have not been very good, and I have itemized and described those stories. So last time I was on a horse, and it may have been the last time, by the way, it was way out in the country, somewhere maybe an hour and a half outside of St. Louis, somewhere out on 44. A girl I was dating, family lived out there, and they had horses. And so I'm a city boy. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a city boy. And she's like, all right, get up on the horse. I'll show you everything to do. And it's just a little trail, and that's it. The horse isn't going to go galloping or anything. This will be fun. And I thought maybe it would be fun, although I remember that Three Stooges episode where they were on the horse and the branch, you know, you push the branch out of the way and the thing would snap back and hit you in the face. But so I get on this horse and we're riding along. And of course, something happens that wasn't supposed to happen. And in this particular case, the horse got stung by a bee. And you guessed it, the horse takes off. And I'm sitting on this out of control horse. And now she starts galloping along next to me, trying to get control of the horse because I don't know what to do. This horse is going 100 miles an hour, and I'm pulling on everything. I'm yelling, whoa. I'm doing all the stuff you think you're supposed to do. I was like, you know what? I think horses are too skittish. They're just way too skittish. And I've told this story before, too. A girl I was dating in the mid-80s, her parents had a place on it, and I think it was Eureka. And, you know, when you have to wash a horse, and I like animals that sort of take care of themselves. So I got cats. I've had cats almost my whole life. And I love having cats. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, they clean themselves. And a dog is pretty easy because you can take a dog in a shower stall with you. Or in our particular case, you got a pool so the dog can just jump in the pool. And then you dry it off and it doesn't stink as bad as it used to. And, you know, you take it to the vet every once in a while, or to the little doggy spa, and they give it a shampoo bath and everything like that. That's fine. Washing a horse really does seem like a major ordeal. And plus, you have to remember, never, ever, that's why I told my daughters yesterday, just whatever you do, just remember, don't ever get behind the horse. I've seen videos of horses kicking people and just knocking them silly to the point where they're never the same again. And there have been stories of horses kicking people and killing them. So it's just like, just stay, you know, don't be behind the horse, okay? But this this woman, she was washing the horse. And I guess what you do is you you have like a chain or a little bridle or something, and you hook that to a post, and then you start washing the horse. And in this particular case, this woman starts washing this horse, and for again, that word skittish. She's washing the horse, and something spooks the horse, and the horse starts, you know, jumping around, trying to get away from her, trying to get away from the chain. She's trying to calm the horse down, and somehow in the process of this whole thing, the chain gets wrapped around her neck, and somebody comes out about an hour later and goes, "Where's Mom?" And there's Mom hanging from the chain. She got the thing wrapped around her neck and choked to death. And of course, the horse is standing there going, "What?" I like the Jerry Seinfeld bit where he talks about the horse that he rode called Glue Stick. But I will say this, being in Louisville, Kentucky, home of Churchill Downs, you do, as you're driving past the place, you just want to yell out, "And down the stretch they come!" That's stuff that David Letterman used to do with Dave Johnson, the voice of the Kentucky Derby for years and years and years. And we have pointed this out before, too, and maybe you missed it somewhere along the way. But Drew Johnson, who's been on the radio in St. Louis for, I don't know, 40 years? Drew's been around since the early Casey days, and a great guy, by the way. And that's his brother, Dave Johnson, who was the voice of the Kentucky Derby for years and years. He actually started calling races at Fairgrounds Park. And Dave was on the air with us many times. He was a great guy, just a terrific guy. But I'm going to go back to the idea of, you know, having more domesticated animals who are waiting for me back at home. Oh, and by the way, my oldest daughter is now 27 years old and lives here in the Louisville area, has a pig. She has a couple of dogs and also a pig. And so we got pig stories yesterday. And everything they say about pigs apparently is true in that they are very, very smart animals. And the pig, every once in a while, just gets up and feels a little randy and decides to go pick a fight with the dogs. But not a fight, like a mean fight, just a, let me go stir up some shit here. And then when it's over, I guess the pig goes and rolls around in some shit here. Our buddy Lance Hildebrand, who has been doing traffic on the radio in St. Louis for about 100 years, had a Vietnamese potbelly pig for a while. And I always wonder if it says something about the individual when they own an exotic pet. You know, I have a friend who has snakes. Hi, Jerry. And, I know a couple of people, obviously, now that have pigs. My lawyer and very, very close friend, Jeff Gershman, for years has had a cockatiel in the house. And the cockatiel has learned to perfectly mimic the sound of the house alarm. So you're sitting there having a conversation, and all of a sudden from the other room you hear this, "Woo! Woo! Woo!" And it's the fucking bird doing this. You know, you talk about a smart animal like a pig, and then you talk about a bird who's so stupid that if you put a towel over the cage, it thinks it's bedtime and time to go to sleep. But everybody had a nice night for Foo Fighters. And it is Foo Fighters, by the way. You would not say, "I'm going to see the Fleetwood Mac." You would sound like an idiot, okay? It's Fleetwood Mac. You wouldn't put a "the" in front of it. And it is Foo Fighters. It is not the Foo Fighters, but people make that mistake all the time. But what a beautiful night. Almost everybody I know back in St. Louis was at that concert last night. Missouri, of course, the home of Governor Mike Pardon. Oh, I'm sorry, Parson. I'm sorry, I said Mike Pardon. Can you believe him pardoning the McCloskeys? The state of Missouri needs an enema. Oh, and if you can explain this to me, I'll give you a dollar. So Fox News, I'm channel surfing at the hotel here last night. I'm channel surfing, and they're running the story, obviously, the big news story of the day. Governor Andrew Cuomo, the state of New York, he's going to be forced to resign. He's toast. He's done now. This is it. He could never recover from this. I don't see any way he recovers from this. But anyhow, they're doing the story on Fox News, And they're showing pictures of Cuomo, but they're showing pictures of him with his brother, Chris Cuomo, who, of course, had absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. But Fox News, in their never-ending battle to be the sleaziest news channel on cable, figures, oh, let's see if we can dirty up his brother a little bit. He's got a show on CNN, so let's show him with his brother, who is going to be forced to resign his post as governor of New York. Let's go ahead and just throw that in, too. Chris Cuomo, absolutely nothing to do with the story whatsoever, but, you know, in the world of Fox News, this is the way they think, and this is why you should not be poisoning your system with that channel. But I digress.
Bill Clinton has actually abused women.
Stop! Jesus Christ, Donald, who is advising you on how to deal with your misogyny crisis?
Let's also remember that one of the men who is advising Donald Trump is Roger Ailes.
Of course! Roger Ailes of the esteemed PR firm Ailes, Cosby, Polanski, and Gibson. They're good. Trump delegated the whole Bible-y forgiveness angle to the only surrogate not hiding behind a hay bale.
Gosh almighty, you know, he who hasn't sinned throw the first stone here.
I will gladly tell you, Mr. Mayor, I have never said that. I have never done that. I'm happy to throw a stone. I don't know any man. Okay. I've been in locker rooms. I've been a member of a fraternity. I have never heard any man ever brag about being able to maul women because they get away with it. Never.
Poor Jake Tapper. You'd be testy, too, if you just had to spend the day as a human pussy thesaurus.
Grab them by the vagina.
Grab them by the crotch.
Grab them by the, I'm not allowed to say this on MSNBC.
Grab them by the, and he uses a word that begins with P, which is a slang term for a woman's genitalia.
Grabbing women by their private parts.
Grabbing women by their kitty cat. The P word, forgive me.
Grab a woman's genitals.
Grab them by the... I can't say it on television.
Oh, it must be so hard to make 24 hours of television without saying the words snatch, cooter, silk purse, spicy taco, lady pocket, white cantaloa, hoo-hoo trim, the JJ, bearded clam, front bottom, nether region, sin grotto, chocha, red lobster, beaver, fur burger, yoni, downstairs retreat, honeypot, inner sanctum, sugar walls, peach blossom, lady treasure, roast beef curtains, gray gardens. Oh, I almost forgot the most one box. Well, that was literally a vagina monologue. We'll be back with more after this word from the sponsors I hope we still have.
All right, there you go. I love me some Samantha Bee. All right, a thread on Reddit went viral after somebody asked hotel employees to spill their dirtiest secrets. And this is interesting because I'm staying in a hotel right now. And maybe you spend some time in a hotel because of summer vacation, or maybe you're still going to squeeze something in. Or, as I was explaining to my daughter last night, my 11-year-old is with me on this trip. And it's one of those things where I took over 400 trips to and from places like Los Angeles and New York primarily over the course of about 14 years when I was doing all that entertainment stuff for TV. And she's like, do you have the key? Do you have the key? I go, honey, I'm a seasoned traveler here. I won't forget the key, all right? So you're sitting in a hotel, and I know a lot of these things that go on in hotels, but maybe you haven't heard them, and maybe you will switch to camping after you hear this. You can't trust the drinking glasses in the rooms. The main goal of the cleaning staff is to make everything look clean. So a lot of times they use the same dirty rag to wipe down the glasses in every room. Bed bugs, a real concern. Doesn't matter if it's a cheap hotel or a five-star place. They've had them before and they could have them again. So never put your suitcases on the bed and always check the corners of the mattresses underneath the fitted sheets. People do really nasty things in hotel rooms. First thing I do when I check into a hotel is I get rid of the bed covering, whatever it is, the bedspread. I take that off, I fold it up, I shove it in the closet, and I never look at it again because that's what people do. You know, 19-year-olds go running into the hotel, they check in, they close the door behind them, and they start humping immediately on the bedspread. They don't even bother pulling anything down except each other's pants. So get rid of that thing. But yeah, the bed bug thing is a real big deal. And people do nasty things in hotel rooms, as we said. It's not unheard of for maids to find used rubbers or love toys, people left behind. On a related note, by the way, sex workers tend to leave big tips for the maids. And people die in hotels all the time. One guy claimed it happened in almost half of the beds at a dingy place where he used to work. He says it obviously depends on the type of hotel you're staying at, though. Some people won't travel at all because of the pandemic. 1,500 Americans were polled and basically asked the question, when do you think the pandemic will officially be over? And 1 in 5 said, never. And they're probably right, by the way. Only 9% said this year. Wow. 25% said sometime next year. And the most common answer was longer than that, with 35% of the vote. 21% of us think the pandemic will never end, and 10% think it's already over. People who don't plan to get vaccinated were the most likely to say there's no pandemic right now, and also the most likely to say it will never end, and 58% of them chose one of those two options. You never know what is going to compel people to get in the car and take a road trip or a vacation. Come on, kids, we're going to go see the iceberg replica at the Titanic Museum in Tennessee, which, by the way, collapsed on Monday, injuring 3 people. The owners say they'll have to take off about a month to rebuild it. Eventually, you have to go back to work, and a new poll asked people to name the most attractive jobs when it comes to dating. So the ideal job you'd want your date to have, in other words, okay? The hottest job a guy can have is doctor, and the hottest job for a woman is a nurse. A little sexism there. The 10 jobs women want men to have: doctor, lawyer, carpenter, engineer, project manager, firefighter, construction worker, software developer, mechanic, and accountant. The top jobs men find attractive for women are nurse, elementary school teacher, doctor, secretary, lawyer, dancer, middle school teacher, waitress, hairdresser, and receptionist. Dental hygienist should have been on there, I'm telling you. According to women, the least attractive jobs a guy can have: fast food worker, janitor, truck driver, cashier, and maid. According to men, the least attractive jobs for women: janitor, truck driver, fast food worker, plumber, and security guard. Would you take a 25% pay cut if it meant you could keep working from home? More than 1 in 7 people say yes. Also, 39% would give up their health insurance. I know a lot of people who are working just so they can have health insurance. 53% would work an extra 10 hours a week. 52% would give up Netflix, and 34% would give up their right to vote if it meant that they could work from home forever. Meghan Markle, turning 40 today. I think she's hot. Roger Clemens, 59. Most strikeouts ever. Legendary pitcher and steroid user. And also that Mindy McCready thing was really, really creepy for a long time. Google that sometime. Read that whole story, that country singer Mindy McCready. She was like 15 years old, and Roger Clemens was paying for her to go on road trips with him, with whatever team he was with at that particular time. And he said it was all very innocent and everything. It wasn't. It wasn't. It was pathological, as a matter of fact. Barack Obama, 60 today. Let's see, how would they be able to tell that he was 60 today? Oh, yeah, that's right. A birth certificate. And Billy Bob Thornton, one of the oddest people, but also friendly, nice guy, big, big Cardinal baseball fan. He was growing up living down there in northern Arkansas. He's 66 today. And is this guy a genius or crazy? I say a genius. They don't allow alcohol at Lollapalooza, which is going on in Chicago right now. So what he did, he went to Grant Park there, where they're having a Lollapalooza, and he knew roughly what the layout was going to be, where the crowd was going to be, and he dug a hole, and he put a bottle of vodka in the hole, and then covered it up. So now he takes his ticket, you know, because the whole place is completely surrounded by fence. He takes his ticket, he goes strolling into Lollapalooza, goes to his little buried treasure, digs up his bottle of vodka. I'd hire that guy. I'd keep an eye on him, but I'd hire him. Watched a little bit of A Star Is Born in the hotel last night. Tony Bennett announced that his final album is going to be another collaboration with Lady Gaga. Goes on sale October 1st. If you're still scratching your head about the Simone Biles story, it might be pertinent to the story to know that her aunt passed away this past weekend. Could have possibly had something to do with her mental state of mind. How about Canadian swimmer Penny Oleksiak? I hope I'm somewhere in the neighborhood there. She won 4 medals at the 2016 Summer Olympics and another 3 in Tokyo. And she just tweeted, quote, "I just Googled Canada's most decorated Olympian and my name came up. I want to thank that teacher in high school who told me to stop swimming and focus on schooling because swimming wouldn't get me anywhere. This is what dreams are made of." She later added that she wasn't shading all teachers, just the one who constantly dragged her down. Series premiere of Cooking with Paris, starring Paris Hilton, debuts today on Netflix. I'd like to see the outtakes from that show. Who do I have to blow around here to get another bag of flour? John Corbett and Bo Derek secretly got married last year. Sounds like a story from 1995. As does this one, 80s, actually. Disney Plus is doing a Doogie Howser reboot. That's going to premiere on September 8th. And this was all over social media and the internet yesterday. Flight attendants on a Frontier Airlines flight had to duct tape a 22-year-old guy to his seat after he grabbed the boobs of flight attendants and then punched another one. Not only was the guy arrested, but he also has to pay the $40 duct tape restraining fee. It was on this date in 1989, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, interviewing one of the most attractive, and note that I am using the word attractive. Yes, there are taller, more beautiful, more stunning, more, you know, perfect-looking women, but I'm using that word attractive because attraction encompasses so many more things. And that's what I think of when I think of the star of Heart of Dixie and also Sideways, actress Virginia Madsen, another Chicago girl. Sideways was the first movie where she actually had an opportunity to do some real acting because up until then, I think almost every movie I ever saw her in, she, you know, plays these sirens. She did a movie called The Hot Spot with Don Johnson, and she was naked like half the time. Creator with Peter O'Toole. That would be another example where her shirt was off during half the movie. Now she's taking more mature role. She played the mom in Joy with Jennifer Lawrence, about that chick who invented the mop on the Home Shopping Network. She was really good in that too. Not a demanding role, but I'm telling you, Virginia Madsen in her prime. Oh my gosh. And got a chance to interview her and Ally Sheedy back in 1989 on this date. And I guess it should be noted that on this date in 1992, after 5 years at Channel 5, I was let go because of budget cuts, and it took me about, I don't know, 6 months to find another job, and that job was at KMOV Channel 4, where I was there. Well, I was there for 7 years before, again, the dreaded budget cuts hit. But I had a lot of fun there and did a lot of cool stuff. And I can see the world is waking up here in our hotel in downtown Louisville. You might be able to hear some of that in the background. People are coming down for that infamous continental breakfast. I don't know what continent the idea of cold oatmeal came from, but no place I've ever been around. And with that, we say goodbye. Time to fly home. Thanks for listening again. Continue to spread the word that we are here at the J.C. Corcoran Podcast every morning. We publish at about 7 o'clock here at jconline.com. Like I said, time to board a big old jet airliner and fly home. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.